Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the text I'm waiting for. This is great. I love this. Thank you. 206. That's Seattle, right? Isn't that Seattle?
Seattle.
206. Hey, Seattle. Willard, you're way off base. Steph is the reason you try to get one more. When Steph rides off into the sunset, you're probably not getting another chip for 13 years anyway. Go for all the marbles when you have the little man from Davidson, because when he's gone, there won't be more chips. All right. Like, this is three sentences, and it makes me want to say five different things. First of all, they are already going for it.
Yeah.
They just acquired Jimmy Flipping Butler. So there's more than one way to quote unquote go for it. So there's that. But some of you have this mentality that is only based on championships. Do you notice the way that he or she wrote this to us? He said, when Steph is gone, you're probably not getting another championship for 13 years anyway. I didn't say you would. There's a lot of difference between you're not winning a championship and you're not going to the playoffs. There's a huge gap there. So, A, you're showing an unbelievable lack of faith in the Warriors ownership and executive staff. Like, you think that as soon as Steph retires, like, that's it. And there's nothing they can do for the rest of the decade. I don't think that way. Plus, I also want to see the Warriors just, you know, try. Be a six seed. Go to the playoffs.
Compete, yeah.
Get knocked out in the first round. Whatever. Win 47 games. Be an interesting team. Bring up some young players. Let's do the experience. Rather than let's shove everything out the door now to go for something for one more year and then be completely powerless when Steph walks out the door. I'm not saying it's going to go great when he walks out the door, but you're not powerless. You can make yourself powerless if you want. You could do that. You can send all your young players and all your picks and all your pick swaps out for a year of Giannis. You can do that if you want. I think that's how we started the show. Steve Kerr said that was a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That is too expensive.
12 years is a long time. And I'm not only saying that as a guy in his 50s, but for any fan, and I remember this very well when the Warriors made the playoffs in 1994 and got swept. It was Weber as a rookie, Luttrell in his second year, and Mullen and Hardaway toward the end of their run. Well, you end up trading Weber, Nelson leaves, and then you go 12 straight years. You don't make the playoffs. You had B.J. Armstrong and Donnell Marshall and Antoine Jameson, Eric Dampier, all these players who were your best player, and you just didn't win. And it was all the way until you got to We Believe. 12 years of no playoffs. So just be careful what you'd give away for a championship that you've already seen four times. And by the time that confetti gets swept up on Market Street, and it would be June 19th, 2026, all right, set your calendars. What's 365 times 12? Because that's how many days you're going to have to wait before you start another season. And you have to actually add four as well, because it'd be 3650 plus 730.
The leap years, yeah.
Plus four.
So 365.
It's about 4,300 days and
not
nights.
Five, not six, not seven.
4,380 before leap years.
Yeah. So. And go ahead and you know, start ticking off those days before you start a year in which you're going to make the playoffs.
Like I said, I ain't waiting 5,000 days between playoff games or whatever. Right. I don't know what on earth.
We already have.
What are we thinking right now?
We did that already.
Like, when you know what? I wonder if anyone's experienced this. I'll never forget being on the radio in San Diego the day after the Chargers left. I'll never forget it. And a lot of us, we're on the radio the day after the A's left. And the same thing keeps coming up when people call in. It's the same thing. And there are usually people in tears. And the reason they're in tears is because you start thinking of the experiences you have with your family. And you'll be like, my mom used to bring me to games, or my dad used to bring me to games, and I want to bring my kids to games. And now I don't get to bring my kids to games. And so there's like a generational sort of activity that gets lost in the matrix. And it's gone. And you can't carry on that tradition. That's what happens when a sports team leaves town. Now, I understand this is not that serious because you're allowed to go watch a losing team. So you're able to still go do it. But it's not the same if everything is just kind of downtrodden and not going well and there's no vibe, no fun. You're going to have a hard time, for instance, getting kids to get excited about all of that. So to sort of trade in the idea, because again, that's where my mind goes. My mind goes to families. That you just brought up somewhere between 7, 8, 11, 12 years old. That's when somebody first falls in love with sport. So take that 7 or 8-year old and have them turn 7 or 8 the year after Steph Curry retires, and then go, all right, I'm going to start taking to Warrior games. Oh, Dad, this game's boring. Dad, there's nobody here to watch. Dad, I'm not really into this. Well, it's okay. They're going to be good when you graduate college. I mean, that's expensive. Also, that you can go to the barbershop and be like, no, Steph was better than your favorite player. I don't get it. That's wild to me. This is like the easiest question we've ever asked. And most people are answering it the opposite way.
I agree. And I just think that people are not looking at it from the real long-term view. And again, if it were a Sacramento Kings question, I get it, because they've gone a long time without even winning a playoff series, let alone winning a championship. And in Sacramento, they've never been to the finals. So if you gave Kings fan that same proposition right now, you know what? You're going to get Giannis and you're going to win a title next year, but it'll be 12 more years of usual Kings business after that. Kings fan would say, I'm buying season tickets and I'm buying them today.
100%. And I get
and
that.
And I totally get it.
I get that. If you've never experienced it before, I totally get that. But Steph is going to be remembered forever. That's done. It's done. Drew Down and Tracy. Hey, always good to hear from you, friend. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Mark? What's up, Dan?
Drew Down.
Long time no talk, fellas. So, yeah, I wanted to chime in on the conversation. I think if you could guarantee you traded for Giannis, you gave up every asset, every pick for the next however many years, you guarantee Steph a fifth ring, I'm absolutely giving up the next 10 years of playoff contention, whatever it is. This team didn't win anything before Steph was here. You know, 2008 we were juiced about getting an A seed. They didn't sniff the conference finals for years. So I think to guarantee a fifth ring, I think that's a no-brainer. I mean, he's passing LeBron. He's tying Kobe, Magic, Duncan. You know, 10 years is going to be rough, but you got five rings from Steph, and more than likely you're not going to win anything when Steph leaves anyway. So if you guarantee it, I think it's a no-brainer. And I think a comparison I would ask you guys, if you were a Giants fan, and after they won the third ring in 2014, if you said, we can guarantee you a fourth ring in 2015, but you'll have to give up the next 10 years and not make an NLCS, would you have said no back then? They haven't done anything for the last 10 years.
Well, see, Drew, that's where you lose me. And it's
12 years, Drew, to nitpick.
And Drew, thanks. And again, this is the beauty of what we get to do for a living. Drew thinks it's a no-brainer one way. You and I think it's a no-brainer the other way.
Right.
I'm not giving you back the 107-win season for the Giants.
Nor do you get the 2016 season, right, when they went to the playoffs?
Dude, I have so many memories that are all tucked into that. Certain games, certain experiences with family, with friends, professionally, just truckloads of memories through there that don't go away just because the Dodgers beat him in the first round in, quite frankly, a fecoctous setup that allowed two teams with such records to play one another in the first round. Don't get sidetracked. No, I won't get sidetracked. I will not give that up. And I'm not going to let anybody flick that off as if it didn't exist, as if the Giants have been pointless for 10 years since 2014. Not true.
It speaks to your perspective on sports, which is you want to be interested and entertained. The process of being a fan for a team that's actually relevant and competitive to you is almost as fulfilling, if not more fulfilling, than what happens at the end.
No doubt. I loved the chat that you and I had before the show, which we should reboot because we brought it up on the crossover. But, I'll take this and wear it. It's fine. I get called a homer 18 times a week on this show, and my rebuttal will now be the conversation that you and I had before the show. Go ahead and call us, the big three teams, right now in the Bay Area, who's on the hot seat.
It's hot.
No one.
Well, let me think.
And that tells me that sports in the Bay Area right now are healthy. These teams are being run by smart people. These teams are being run by ownership groups who are trying to win. They're being run by general managers who don't bat 1,000, but they make a lot of good moves. And they have more good years than bad. And a bad year for any of these teams right now doesn't actually look that bad.
It's 6-11.
6-11 was a wonky one.
But it's not 2-15.
And it's also it happened less than 12 months after a Super Bowl appearance.
Chip Kelly's 2-14, that was a bad year.
Dude.
That was horrific.
Exactly. I'd do anything to avoid that. It's almost like my desire to not do that is stronger than my desire to see him win the championship.
The Warriors went 15-50 in that weird lockout year.
Ugh.
And Steph was hurt and Draymond got hurt, ? And Klay was already hurt. So that thing was just a disaster and a forgotten year. But they ended up turning it into a championship a couple years later. So it's not like that was the beginning of a plummet. And the Giants' bad years have been, 77
wins? Yeah, they're we're 3 games below 500.
Like the worst under Farhan, did they ever lose? They didn't lose less than 70.
Oh, God, no. No.
Maybe 75. They might have been 73 one year. I'll look it up. You take a call.
Yeah, I don't even think it was that low. I feel like they went north of 75 every time.
Right, but that's the point of your hot seat talk where Buster is a part owner. I think he's safe.
Safe.
Bob Melvin is, safe, and unless this year completely goes into the tank, he'll be back next year.
I think he'll be back next year.
Steve Kerr can coach as long as he wants, and Mike Dunleavy, even though trades are hard, he's off to a pretty darn good start two, and Lynch and Shanahan, as much as people want to fire Shanahan, he's more likely to get extended than fired yet again.
There are no hot seats in this town.
Yeah.
None. You can make one up if you want. You can call a radio show or text it and say, fire Kerr. You can do that all you want, but the reality is there are no hot seats in this town. None.
People do make that phone call all the time.
And I'm into that. That's what I love. That's what I love. I got kids that no matter what the season is right now, they want to go. They want to go. To the point where I'm like, yo, I'm not made of money. We can't just go get tickets to everything. But they want to go all the time. And to me, that is worth millions. Millions.
77-85 was the lowest.
It was their worst year.
That was the last Bochy year.
Okay. That was a tough one. I'm out of here.
It's really good.
What do you want to say,
For me, I said earlier that I think I might choose a fifth Warriors and Steph championship over the first Super Bowl of my lifetime, which is kind of crazy hearing me say it, but I think I might feel that way. I think part of it, and this might just be like my mind playing tricks on me, because I have now 29 years of evidence that suggests that the Warriors only do anything meaningful when Steph is here, and time is running out for Steph being here. Meanwhile, I've seen the 49ers make a run to the NFC Championship game in the last 15 years with four different quarterbacks.
True.
So maybe in the back of my mind, I have a little bit more belief that the Niners, no matter who's there, are going to get stuff done. Meanwhile, the Warriors, without Steph, I have zero evidence that suggests they're going to do anything other than be an 8 seed.
Understood. But again, like this ownership group, I'm not saying, I think they're going to be amazing when Steph retires. They've also never had a chance. We've never seen what they do without Steph. And I can promise you that they're better than the last owners. Wow.
No, there's no doubt.
I can promise you that.
When we've seen what the Niners have done without Shanahan and Lynch, and by bringing in Shanahan and Lynch, I think they were able to rectify the mistakes that they had been making.
It got a lot better. And this is also an interesting conversation coming from a town that made documentaries about an 8 seed that won one round. Can you not see that you don't have to win the ring to have something fun happen during a season? It's not just ring or bust.
Well, that was only a big deal because they were historically bad the 20 years before
that. Which sounds like you're all predicting is going to happen automatically in 2028 anyway. That's what it's... I mean, I don't think they're going to just snap fingers and be good without Steph. I don't think that. But this like, it doesn't matter, Mark, because as soon as Steph retires, we're stuck for the next 15 years. Why? Why does it have to be that way?
Well, it shouldn't be that way.
I have no idea
shouldn't be 15 years.
No.
If you trade four first-round picks and Kuminga and Pods and Moody for Giannis, then yeah, after 2 years, you're probably going to stink.
You're going to suck.
Giannis opts out, and he's gone, and you're left with probably nothing. Hi, this is Guy Santos. Oh.
I'd love to see him try to take over a game. His hair would be on fire. It'd be amazing. I don't think they'd win the game. But
they have a pretty strong...
Bay Area. It's Guy Santos here. Hey, Dibs. You're a big stink.
I like their all headband five that they can put out there.
Oh, wait. Who's that?
Buttered. Moses Moody.
Yep.
Jimmy Buckets.
My name is Buddy.
It is.
Guy. And I think Pods is the headband guy.
And GP2?
Yep. I think he's team headband.
Yeah.
Well, he has a face shield so much, he's somebody's always breaking his nose.
Somebody's got to come off the bench.
Anyway.
I'm Batman.
All right. Thanks, Buttered. Let's go to James.
My name
Oakland.
Is Buddy.
No, Buttered. James, go ahead. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
I got somewhat. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that.
All right. I got somewhat of a crazy hot take, and obviously you guys are going to give your take on my take. But I think that the Warriors have to go all in for Steph ring, even if it mortgages the future for the, at least for a short period. And the reason I say that is because the Warriors are a victim of their own success, in a sense. And I just don't see a free agent in their prime, let's just say under 30, coming to the Warriors and trying to follow in the footsteps of the Splash Brothers. Like, what young prime free agent wants to come here and try to follow in the footsteps of Steph? I just don't see it. And they're going to have a struggle of finding free agents. So why not just get this in? Because we know that NBA players currently love playing with Steph. So that's my take, guys.
Well, okay. So James, this is a fun take, but here's what I would say. First of all, I am continually taken by the defeatist mentality right now of the Warrior fan in the post-Steph era. Like, my goodness, is that what y'all think? Is this just like, does life end in 2028 basketball-wise?
It doesn't end, but history would indicate that you are going to go through a period of major regression.
No doubt, and I acknowledge that. But at the same time, to then take this to a place of no free agent wants to come here. All right, let me throw something at you. What, and these are just odds, so who cares? But the odds were released today on where Giannis is going to end up, what team ended up at the top.
The Toronto Raptors.
Now, why in the hell would that be where somebody wants to go? I mean, Toronto's a nice city. I've never been there. I've heard it's wonderful. But why would somebody choose Canada, for crying out loud, to be the spot where they end up? Why would someone do that?
Free healthcare and a good young roster.
Okay. I would argue that in the LeBron era of free agency and player empowerment and movement, what they're looking for most of all is to pair up. They don't always give a crap where the hell it is. Was it Blake Snell who, upon signing with the Giants last year, when they said, why San Francisco? And he's like, I don't care where the hell I play. We're never in one city for more than 3 days anyway. I just want to be on a good team. And I think that NBA players think about it that way now. Now, sure, if you're Oklahoma City, if you're Sacramento, if you're Milwaukee, etc., you're going to have a harder time than if you're New York or if you're L.A. or you're Miami. But this is San Francisco. It might not be New York, L.A., or Miami, but it's not Oklahoma City or San Antonio either. And so what the Warriors will need to do is, through their draft picks, because they will have some assets, and through their shrewd movement, what they will try to create is a new, young, exciting, up-and-coming roster. And if they're smart, they will also keep cap space. And when you have that cap space, your hope is that you can get a couple of guys to maybe want to pair up together and join a young roster, and poof, to the moon. San Antonio is the best example right now. De'Aaron Fox worked his way there. Why would you work your way to San Antonio, Texas?
Because they got the big Frenchman.
There you go. They got a good basketball team.
Not yet, but...
but they will, and they people want to win.
Right.
People want to win. If they think they can win there, yes, they'll come to San Francisco.
You just kind of proved the point, though, because the Spurs get the number one pick and they get Wemby, so all of a sudden, boom, now they are an attractive destination.
Exactly.
With whom you want to pair. If you look at the Warriors post-Steph and Draymond and Jimmy, they're all gone. You didn't use assets to get Giannis. You kept Jonathan Kuminga, and now he's your centerpiece. And your draft picks, well, you don't have one this year. And next year, you're hoping to still be good, so that pick is going to be in the teens. And the year after that, you're probably going to hope to still be good, so that pick's not great either. So your reload is not as easy as getting the number one pick when a generational talent is there.
No question, and I'm not forecasting that there won't be a dip, maybe even a significant one, but 12 years? No.
Well, if it's 12, then that is cause for multiple firings.
No doubt. No owner should get that. No owner gets that kind of leeway. You know? No, that's not okay.
No.
So, look, there are a thousand ways to do this, and what I'm sort of hearing right now is that people have very, very little faith in this organizational structure. I'm with all of you. This is all because of Steph. This is all because of Steph. But I would at least acknowledge the people in charge with the Warriors are smart enough to not be basement awful for a decade plus once Steph leaves. I certainly don't forecast that either.
Well, I hope that they think about that, because I'm looking at the San Antonio model. They win the title. The next 5 years, they go to the playoffs, including a conference finals. They don't make the finals again, but they were a playoff team for five straight years. And then 6 years in a row since then, no playoffs, including a couple of years where you won 22 games, one of which netted you Wembanyama. So it's been 6 years for San Antonio. They're halfway through the 12-year desert.
Ain't going to get to 12.
I think you're right.
They ain't going to get to 12.
But they had to get, and I'm going to say Schmidt, Casey Schmidt, lucky to win the lottery. And then this year, you got the number two pick. Even though you were 34-48, you got the two.
You can call it luck, except for I don't know many people who don't believe that the NBA puts their hands all over this stuff.
I don't believe it.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Neither do I, but there's some force at work. I mean, my God, Charlotte never gets it. They're there to get it every year. They never get it. They never get it. Dallas, I mean, you have to sort of shrug your, like, holy crap, really? I mean, that did feel...
Hey, Dallas, thanks for doing us a solid and getting Luka to L.A.
It sort of felt like the dealer hitting a 21 off of a 16. You're like, holy Schmidt, they got Dallas? That's where it ended up? So, I don't know what forces at work, but I don't think Adam Silver is going to be activated at the idea of the Warriors sucking for 12 years. That's not good. Drew in Sunnyvale. Hi, Drew. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Willard, I wanted to ask you a question. So this entire premise of 12 years of sucking came about when you thought about the Warriors giving up multiple draft picks. I just wanted to ask you, do you think giving up multiple draft picks means 12 years of sucking?
Well, it depends on what you're talking about, and it was much more than giving up just multiple draft picks. Drew, if you don't mind, because the conversation started Friday, and it was based off of this comment, minute and a half long, from Steve Kerr on Tom Tolbert's YouTube show. I want to listen to very closely to what he says.
I think the Jimmy trade was a clear indication that we're going for it the next couple of years. You know, they gave Jimmy the extension. His contract lines up with Draymond's and Steph's. They each have 2 years remaining. Jimmy is one of the best players in the league. We instantly became one of the best teams in the league when he got here. Yeah, we're going for it these next 2 years. We're not in a position because, you know, Steph's 37, Jimmy 36, Draymond 35. And it's not my job. It's Mike's job to determine all this stuff. But can you imagine trading away your next, like, seven drafts, you know, with a team of, you know, built around three guys who were 36, 37? Yep. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? So I think what we're doing makes sense. Like, we got Jimmy. I think finding, you know, another cornerstone next to Steph for these last couple of years was crucial. That's the hard part. And these last couple of years have shown that, you know, it's been really hard, you know, after we won our title in 22. Last couple of years have been tough. We needed somebody like Jimmy. Well, we got him now. He's still really good. I think we're set up to go for it the next 2 years, but yeah, you don't give up, you know, four firsts and three swaps, and not when your guys are 37. So
yeah,
I think that's how we're operating. That's how Mike is operating. I think he's fantastic at his job. And my job is to, you know, coach the team and see what we can do.
I wonder if everybody hears the tone of what Steve uses when he twice references how nuts it would be when your star players are about to retire to suddenly take every asset for the next 3, 4, 5, 7 years, quite frankly, because you have to do, if you're going to do first rounders, you got to do them every other year, and send all of that out the door for one player to come in return when your stars are all north of 35 and retiring sometime soon. So, yes, Drew, I just grabbed the number 12 out of my back pocket. But at the same time, if you leave yourself assetless when this thing is over in 2 years, that would be my kind of projection. You would be so far up a creek, it's going to take you at least a decade to get out of it. Because San Antonio did it well, and they, even they, as you just detailed, Dibs, even they have had 6 years of futility, and even now they're only... Right? They're like, they're a projection. We think they're going to be good. They still haven't done it yet.
Right. They're not out of the woods yet. And they're 6 years in the dark. And, you know, 12 was just a number. But just because you win the lottery or do well in the lottery doesn't automatically mean you get a pick. And everyone forgets that last year, Atlanta moved up. They had a 3% chance of getting the number one pick. They got it. And they got Zachary Risacher, which... He might be a good player,
right?
But he's not Victor Wembanyama.
No.
And he's probably not Cooper Flagg.
Probably not. So, Drew, I think, are you still on the line? I know that was a lengthy back and forth, but that's the explanation of what I'm thinking about.
No, absolutely. And I was actually tuned in on Friday when you guys happened to have that conversation. So I listened to it all, and it's a very riveting argument. I think there are two sides to this, right? Do I think the Warriors should give up every asset under the sun? Let's put it this way: every post Steph asset under the sun for a guy like Giannis. I'm not going to say for Giannis because I don't think Giannis is a great fit for the Warriors as they are currently constructed today, like right now. So. I mean, do I believe that's a good and prudent move? No. But I do think that post-step picks should be on the table if they are getting a really, really good role player. Because like Gibbs said, and like the Warriors have experienced over the past couple of years, high draft picks and drafting players with those draft picks doesn't necessarily mean that those players are going to be good. We've experienced it with Kuminga. We've experienced it with Moody. We've experienced it with Wiseman. Like, it is not a guarantee. And I don't think those picks should be off the table if the Warriors are even going to acquire, like, a borderline all-star, right?
Well, now,
like,
Drew, Drew, I want to get some other people in here. Thank you so much. I agree with that. I don't think I ever said all draft picks are off the table. With that, I totally agree. Yes, I'm not over here suggesting don't touch the roster while Steph's still here. Absolutely. You need to maximize this. I think they already are. They've just acquired Jimmy Butler.
Well, what Steve said is four picks and three pick swaps and multiple young players. That is gutting your future.
Gutting.
And you used the word carcass, which
yeah,
I like.
That's what you'd be left with. And I firmly believe, by the way, and I know no one wants to hear this because we all think Steph is so magical. If you sat Giannis down with his agent and you pitched this idea, he would laugh you out of the room. We'll call you, is what he would say, Warriors. We'll call you with thanks for your plan of we're getting rid of everything so that you can come play with three players north of 35 for a year, maybe a year and a half, and we'll see how we do. He would laugh you out of the building. That's a bad plan.
That's a bad plan for the Warriors.
For him and for them.
Well, Giannis could, in the third year of the deal, if those guys all left, he'd be in a spot where he could then be a free agent and go elsewhere. So he could do a short-term chase, knowing that at 33, he's got one more bite at the free agency apple. So it's really not a bad deal for Giannis unless he was on a 6 or 7 year contract,
Which when guys make that move, there's usually some sort of an extension that comes along with it. Don't know if that would necessarily be the case here. Let's go to Joe in Berkeley. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on the air.
Yeah, man.
Just a simple proposition. Joel Embiid for Draymond. What do you think?
Well,
that's a fun one.
The money doesn't match up. You'd have to slap in another, I think, $24 million. I think Joel makes north of 50. Hmm. So even if Kuminga was involved in a sign and trade, you'd probably have to toss in a Moses Moody and at least a pick or maybe a couple of picks. And
Joel
makes 52, right? More?
God.
He makes
God.
He makes a lot.
We're heading into the 25-26 season. For some reason, that's not listed on his contract. He's not unrestricted though for three more years till 2029. He is estimated in 26, 27, and 28 to go 59-64-69.
Whoa.
Player option, 2028-29 season. $69.06 million.
$55.2 next year. So if you were able to pull that off, you'd have number 1, 2, and 5 in the association.
You can't pull it off.
In contracts next year.
Yeah, you can't.
Nor do I want the player.
No.
I mean, so, if Joel Embiid was as healthy as Giannis, who is generally very healthy. I know he's missed some time, but
yeah, everybody misses some.
Joel Embiid misses a lot.
Yeah. Oh, God. He has missed more than he's not. That became a thing. There was a certain day this year where the number of days he played became lower than the number of days he's missed in his career. He's missed more than 50% of his games.
That's wild.
Whole career.
And, I was just looking at the salaries, and you're right. He has a player opt for 67.2, which Jason Tatum has the highest contract right now on paper, and it's the last year of his deal. His opt-in will be 71.4. 71.4.
That'll pay for those hospital bills.
Major. Interested to see what Boston does because they are a team that needs to get down in salary, and Tatum's going to be out for the year, it looks like. They might be a team who is seeing their window kind of close up shop because they've got a lot of money that's going out the door.
Jim in Fremont is next up. Hi, Jim.
Hey, guys. Love the topic. I just wanted to chime in. So I think overall history is a great teacher. And I couldn't even, I've been following the NBA for quite some time, been a fan for such a long time. And I couldn't really remember a dynasty that didn't really hit a valley or really like a bad stretch of fielding a good team, right? Closest to my memory would be, and they're not even a dynasty, the Celtics, when they traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett to get those picks from Brooklyn. And that didn't really result until they got the championship last year, right? So it was really a long process. And also, I couldn't even forget when the Chicago Bulls ended their dynasty and they had two high draft picks, Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. And they were thinking that, okay, with these two high draft picks that we have that were back in session. But again, I think overall, unfortunately, winter's coming, right? So the Warriors are great for such a long stretch. And it's kind of hard to really field a good team right after a dynasty unless you trade away your cornerstones or your marquee players well ahead of when they're hitting a downturn.
No doubt.
So that's, I'm just thinking that it's kind of hard to do. And I don't think any team has done it recently in memory, at least from what I remember.
And I wouldn't expect the Warriors to do it either. Jim, thanks.
I liked it. Celtics went 16 of 17 years in the playoffs after they got that Paul Pierce title, so they never had the full-on plummet.
Right.
The Bulls, 6 years, no playoffs. So it's what the Spurs have gone through. It was a six-year desert of, you know, like he said, Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry, Tim Floyd was the coach, and then they ended up winning the lottery and getting Derrick Rose, and they became relevant for a while until he exploded.
But we're over here proposing twice that long in exchange for a fifth version of something we've already got four of. Okay. Like, rock out with your opinion. Oh. Do it. That's awesome. So I'm with each and every one of you who thinks that there's going to be a major drop-off when Steph Curry retires. I'm just not expecting it to last until well after everybody's joined AARP. Like, wow.
So the here's your option. You go all in, you get the one title, and then it's a 12-year desert. Or you keep it all, you get two more years of what we had last year, which is, so you're saying there's a chance, and it has a resulting six-year gap, like San Antonio, like the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, like I would definitely take the second option. But
so option two is 2 years, and you're not going to win the title.
Well, no, I mean, but you don't know that.
But for the sake of this, let's just say you're not going to win the title.
Yeah, but I guess the hard time I have with that is it's laying into this concept that seemingly a lot of you have, which is that the Warriors are not going all in for Steph Curry right now. And I believe that they are.
I think they are, but I don't think it's enough. I don't think that...
Well, maybe not yet.
Know, yeah, but maybe I don't think it can be based on what Bobby Marks was saying to us earlier, expert capologist from ESPN.
I mean, who knows what's going to be out there?
Yeah.
And again, you know, to think that right now that they're not at least close or potentially close, the only thing that I think makes it sound silly, the idea of them being so close, is their age. And so is it even realistic at all to think that these guys would get through a playoff run healthy? Maybe that is just a fool's errand. I get that. But what I will not understand is how many people took these last four Steph Curry-less games and decided that the Warriors aren't very good right now. When they played at the 2 seed after Jimmy Butler arrived, then they eliminated the 2 seed, then they went on the road and took game one of the next series, and then Steph Curry got hurt, and somehow in that week, we all decided that what they're doing isn't working. It's like, I'm not over here believing that they're dominant. I'm not over here believing they would have beaten Oklahoma City. But I'm over here believing they were very good.
And very fortunate. They were. You have to add that in.
Why?
Steph Curry played 70 games, and he was almost not hurt all year. And Draymond Green played 68 games, and he was almost not hurt all year.
I guess that every team that does well needs that fortune, though.
But
that's
a
constant.
But if you have a team of 38, 36, and 35, now you're kind of like, you're really hoping against hope, and it's less likely for that group.
Well, and that's what I said first.
Right.
Like, I'm willing to acknowledge that might just be crazy. It might just be crazy, even though it almost happened. It almost happened. They almost made it to the end.
Yeah, but you had Jimmy Butler with a broken booty, yeah, but, and you had Steph Curry with a hammy.
But he was still But Jimmy was still playing.
Yeah,
and Draymond was still playing, and Steph Curry was still playing. And if they had won even one more round, and if that had happened against Oklahoma City, everybody's opinion would be different. If they had just lost to OKC instead of Minnesota, I would argue most people would be like, "Well, we can go to bed this summer thinking we were the second best team in the NBA. We're right there."
I still think you can say that they're right there, but I also, for me, I look at the way the year went, and a lot of things went your way health-wise with an older team. You didn't have long swaths of time where you didn't have your core three, and now they're all going to be a year older, and I think it becomes more challenging to try to expect them to be able to last like they did this year.
Ooh, there's that word again.
Last?
Expect.
Well, that's what you're expecting.
Hope.
You're expecting hope. If you want to be a team that has a real chance in the playoffs, yeah, your expectation is that Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy are upright. You're not hoping for that.
No, you're hoping for that.
Right.
I would argue that if you do get that, you will be one of the final, I don't know, five or six
eight teams
standing.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying but if I expect that if you don't get that, then what are we even talking about?
Well, I will acknowledge that's the only thing that to me maybe feels a little bit flimsy with the entire concept. The idea that this team would actually be healthy for a full season and a playoff run. That might be ridiculous. I don't know. But I'm also all in on it because it's the only option they've got right now.
Yeah, I said it earlier in the crossover. Shout out the boy band One Direction. This is your only direction that you have as a franchise.
Can I ask you this really quick?
Go ahead.
So you won't trade a fifth Steph ring for 12 years of futility. Where's your cutoff point? Would you do it for 6 years? Would you do it for 8 years? Would you do it for 10 years?
I'd probably do it for six. Maybe six.
I absolutely for six because I think history tells you you're facing that anyway.
But it doesn't have to be non-playoffs like you just detailed with Boston.
16 to 17 years.
It doesn't need to be awfulness. Missing the playoffs in the NBA means you really, really suck.
Hey, that could mean play-in appearances.
It could. It could. Great. You get one game. Whee!
Hey, maybe they'll be in-season tournament champions. Sorry, NBA Cup champions.
Oh, God. Actually, that would make it even worse. We're sponsored by Safeway. Still here for your calls. 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibs.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It all depends on Kuminga. It really comes down to he basically controls free agency in Golden State, because if they sign him to a contract and bring him back, then that's really it as far as what they can do in the offseason.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Interesting question. 925 just texted us. What about looking about it the other way? Like, would the Patriots give up Tom Brady's last ring to be better now? Instead of trying to get the next ring, like, look at it as through the lens of the teams that are sitting in the doldrums right now.
That's a great question.
Would they trade their last ring to get the hell out of these doldrums that they're stuck in? I don't know. I mean, we can't relate to that yet in Warrior Land, but I don't know. How about run that through the Giants and the 49ers? No, I'm not giving up Mad Bum's performance.
No.
It's only been 10 years.
And they weren't full-on doldrums. As we've laid out.
Nor has the 49ers been, but I bet Grandy would give up Steve Young's Hall of Fame speech for a ring last year, wouldn't you?
Sure. I think this conversation is tough, though. I've already benefited from all the rings I've already experienced. I've already celebrated them. I feel like the joy of that has already been used up.
That's fair. Well, yeah, all of this is mythical. But just kind of offering it from the other angle.
Right.
From someone who's probably a fan of a team that's sitting in the mud right now. It ain't fun.
Yeah, two playoff appearances since the Patriots' last Super Bowl in 6 years, but they're not, like, back-to-back 4-13 years, they're not trending toward being good anytime soon. So, and I know one draft pick, one quarterback changes everything, but they are in those doldrums now.
And we've thrown out this arbitrary number, which is fake. You know what I mean? Like, it could be even longer. Ask the Cleveland Browns. It can be forever.
Well, they never even got the sweet nectar of a Super Bowl.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. It could be longer than 12 years.
And that's part of, I think, what we have to keep in mind with the Warriors is they seem to be run by not only competent people, but excellent people. And San Antonio, similarly, where even after they got, you know, their first title and you had David Robinson leave and you got lucky with Tim Duncan, they also drafted Ginobili and they drafted Parker, and these were not highly sought after players, and they did things successfully. And I gave you the Celtics example earlier. They had the Pierce and Garnett title. They go to the playoffs 4 more years in a row, losing the first round, and then they trade all three of those guys and they get the picks that turn into Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And so, boom, here we go again. And they had the Isaiah Thomas years where they were first round out, whatever, but they were smart to trade their assets. They found a sucker, and they were able to take, you know, get these picks.
Hey, keep in mind that Mike Dunleavy said 1 year, not two.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, and the deadline's a time where you can make moves, and, who knows? You know,
yeah,
like the Celtics traded Pierce and Garnett and Jason Terry. Doesn't mean you have to trade Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, but you could trade one of them.
Let's do one more call on this. Jeremy in North Oakland. Hi, Jeremy. What's up?
What's up, y'all? I just been hearing a lot of people calling in and you know, saying, you know, we should definitely give up the farm to go get Giannis and make a last-ditch effort. And I just think it's just delusional. I think a lot of these people have been playing too much franchise mode on 2K and using trade machines, you know, on the internet. Like, Milwaukee will take us to the cleaners if we make this move, and I just don't think it's viable in the long term. You've got to put yourself in Mike Dunleavy's shoes. Like, the guy knows what he's doing. And by the way, a lot of y'all owe him an apology too, because between last year till now, like, a lot of his people were online were calling him Dunleavy. I'm just like, man, that's so disrespectful. It's just terrible, man. So I think you just have to stamp out with what you got and, you know, sign, get a big for sure, and, you know, just let it play out. That's all you can hope for, really.
Jeremy, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I wish Jeremy had been with me on Twitter this weekend when I had to sift through all of the people calling me every single name in the book. But then again, that's Twitter, so it's all good. But yeah, it's not.
You got aggregated.
Yeah, it's an aggregation sensation.
It was.
It's just not like it doesn't.
An aggravation sensation,
right, like,
too.
If I could be there, if I could sit next to the tweet and be like, no, I like Giannis. He's one of the best players in the world. I'd love for him to be on the team for which I root. Sure, in a vacuum, but this isn't in a vacuum. And it, quite frankly, does not make sense right now for Giannis. It does not make sense for the Warriors. It functionally, from a business standpoint, won't work. And so that's why I said I'm out on the idea. I'm not out on, like, my favorite team going after good names.
And you're not out on Giannis being a good player because he's a really good player.
He's very good.
And it would be cool if they could have him and just add him with Steph and Jimmy Butler and Draymond, but it just doesn't work that way.
Before we get out of here, could I just completely, let's just left turn.
Okay.
Over or under 20 and a half runs in the four-game series between the Giants and the Padres, both teams, total runs in the series, over under 20 and a half.
Over.
Who do we got tonight on the bump?
Logan Webb.
Okay.
And Jimmy Jack Babalu for the Padres.
He can throw.
Kolek.
What's his name? Kolek. Yeah, Kolek is pitching.
It's an under. It's an under.
Under 20 and a half total runs for the series.
Four games.
Yep.
That would be 5.125 runs a game on the average.
Yep.
There will be a shutout for sure in this series.
Or two.
Well, the Padres, with all their fancy schmancy names, they don't hit. They don't hit very well.
No, again.
And you cannot hit at that ballpark, even if you can hit.
And their ballpark is tough too, which is, I think, part of why we have this stat. But if you're a Giants fan and you're like, my God, they just don't score runs. Well, they scored six more than the Padres have this year.
Right.
Try that on for size.
And the Padres have probably in their starting lineup, they probably have what, $600 million worth of hitter?
Well, Tatis and Machado and Luis Arraez. And I know Jackson Merrill's been hurt a little bit, but Jackson Merrill and then even...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The ones who get paid a lot who suck, like Xander Bogaerts, but like, dude, you're jealous of that lineup. They've scored less than the Patrick Bailey, Willie Adames-led San Francisco Giants. Less. They've scored less than the Giants.
It's embarrassing. It's, you know, it's infuriating, but
it's just weird.
And they're a game ahead of the Giants, right? In the standings, I think.
That's correct. They're 33-24. The Giants are 33-26.
Yeah, the Giants have played two more games, which maybe accounts for that little wrinkle. Six runs in two games. Yep. They're both averaging
about the same.
Yeah, close to four runs a game. So
I like the question, but I feel like the line should be somewhere more around like 25.
Vegas would no.
Can I take Dibs' action?
I'm not paying you for this. I just want to know what. Like, these are three night games.
Lucas is uninterested.
Yeah, these are three night games at Oracle Park before a day game.
Are you on the under two?
No, but that's where I like. That's where it felt like I should set it. That's where it felt like I should set it.
Well, you got Dibs to take the under, yeah, so I mean, guess it is a sharp line.
Here's what I'll bet. Here's what I want to bet. At least one of the four games, the final score is 3-2. That's the action I want. I want at plus 350, I'll take at least one of the games, the exact final score is 3-2.
I'll take plus 700 that one of the games is a shutout.
I'm not giving you plus 700 for that.
For a shutout? For both teams? That would be a 0-0 game.
0-0 tie?
Giants had a shutout in two of the three games over the weekend. They get shutouts all the time.
Yep. These teams are averaging a little over 4 runs a game, so the line should be much higher. But
of course it should be, but...
Yeah, I'm taking the under.
Oh, yeah. You might be right, too. But,
you know, what are we doing?
Both teams are slumping. It's this ballpark. It's 3 night games. It's not cold this week, but it's not hot. Not hot. So, anyway. All right, Grandy, you got the over?
Yes, absolutely.
What would you have set the line at? What do you think the line should be?
27 and a half.
28, yeah. Okay. Thinking 7 a game.
All right. I'll consider some side action, but I need a half hour to think about it.
Okay.
Okay. What do you have coming up, Grandy? What are you doing?
We're going to hear from Bobby Marks. Break down how Kuminga's the linchpin to the entire Warriors offseason, one way or another.
All roads, no matter what, lead to Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know if anybody's noticed that this year. Doesn't matter what the hell happens. Jonathan Kuminga is the answer.
Bay Area is Jonathan Kuminga.
We can talk about Brock Purdy, and it goes back to Jonathan Kuminga.
Totally. All right, that's what's coming up. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Full hour of Grandy. Want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow for Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.